Welcome to the road to growth, success of an entrepreneur.
We've raised the bar.
Learn firsthand from successful business owners and create your own path to success.
I'm going to show you how great I am.
It's time to hit the road to growth with team lead of the Enriquez Group, Realtor
Vinny. Hi, Road to Growth listeners. Today I have Michael Tucker. He is a podcast host and a coach. Coaches are very intriguing in the sense that I've had a lot of coaches over the couple years I've done this, and I get a lot. Sometimes I get hate mail. People call me on the post. That person was a scam artist. Other ones get positivity. So I'm always intrigued by coaches, and usually I'll try to dive a little deeper because I know we all have the same questions, right? Coach, what's going on? What are they trying to sell? Did they do it themselves and things like that? But thank you, Michael, for being here today.
Yeah, I'm excited, man. I'm excited. And hopefully I can provide enough value for you guys that, you're happy with the show. So I'm excited.
Yeah. So walk us through, just describe yourself. I mean, I know I kind of laid it out there as a coach and a podcast host. And I think in your, well, anyways, yeah, go for it.
Yeah. My name is Michael Tucker and I am an agency owner. We run virtual events for entrepreneurs, online entrepreneurs specifically. So I've been an agency owner for about 4 or 5 years now. Been in this marketing / virtual event space for about that long as well. And so I'm excited to share my journey with you guys on my road to growth and how I kind of got into business and some of the pitfalls and hardships I faced along the way.
So in the description now, and so to give kind of behind the scenes for people listening, I mean, usually how I'll get guests on the platform is I get PR companies reaching out to me probably, 3 or 4 times a week with a guest they want to basically throw out. Other times it will be past guests telling me, hey, you got to interview my buddy here. Michael reached out to me. So usually when someone reaches out to me, we do a little call. I try to do a little bit of a deep dive. But you can only find so much on it. One of the things I know we talked about was the consulting avenue. And then I think on the description, I think it was laying out, what does it say? 20. I don't know. You help your clients make X amount of dollars like that.
Yeah. Yeah. We've done right now. And I don't know what our team sent over, but right now we've done roughly around $35 to $40 million. Like we've actually helped generate for our clients. That's not just like some people would be like, oh, I was a part of a team that did that. And like, no, our team stepped into other people's businesses, set up a mechanism to help generate income. And out of those mechanisms that we built, around $35 to $40 million over the past few years. So I love what we do. Really, really got a great team behind me. So I'm not going to say I do it alone. But yeah, we've had, God's bless us with amazing success so far.
So is it, and walk me through, I guess, a little more. So are you coaching the companies, entities to better their systems? Are you teaching them how to put on events, and then through the events, that's how they're making money, or what? Walk me through your guys' system.
Yes, that's exactly what we do. So we have an agency where we step into other people's businesses and we help them take their message and their mission out to more people and ultimately to make more money. And so we come in, we coach them, we consult them, we set up systems in their business to help them go run virtual events to sell their products and their services. So you may be watching this right now, or you may be listening to this right now, and you may be a coach, or you may be a speaker, an author, you may be a life insurance agent. I truly believe if you're a business, there's some way you can be using virtual events to grow your business. And so we step in and we create customized solutions for business owners and help them just use the power of virtual events, because I truly believe virtual events are one of the best ways that you can grow your income and your influence in this age and day and time.
So, so in a virtual event, what does a virtual event look like? Is it a class, I'm guessing? Is that usually most of the virtual events, or what does a virtual event look like for most businesses?
Yeah, great question. I think it varies for each person, because I can't come into one business and say it's going to be the same for the next. But I'll say this, the core frameworks of each virtual event are the same, but how you relay those frameworks and how you relay those, the pieces to the puzzle are different, right? So let's just say this way, The pieces are all the same, but the puzzle may be bigger or smaller, right? And so for us, when we first started out, and this is kind of my journey on the road to growth, was I started out as a broke college student who just got married, and I was looking for any way to make a dollar, man. I was like trying, maybe you've been there, maybe your listeners have been there. Like you are looking for the thing. And so I was looking for the thing out of college, got married to my high school sweetheart. We went to Bali on a honeymoon, spent all of our savings. It was stupid, but it was fun. And so we ended up out of college, had no clue what I was doing. So I tried stock trading. I tried e-commerce. I tried everything. And then one day one of my friends came up and said, "Hey, you should try real estate." And I said, "You do know I don't have any money, right? Like, you know that." And he's like, "Yeah, I'm going to show you how to get into real estate with little to no money." And now I'm not here to talk about real estate, but this is the breakthrough into marketing and business, because I went to him. I said, "You know real estate. I do not. I have no money. What can we do for you to help, to coach me through this?" And he said, "Hey, how about we do this? We barter services. I'll coach you, but you have to give me your time and your energy, and you have to work in my business." And at the time, I didn't know much about business. I didn't know much about marketing, but I knew that I needed the thing, and I needed to find something. So I took him up on his offer, and I ended up actually working in his business for no pay. He was coaching me in real estate. And that first 6 months to year in his business, I didn't know what I was doing. We were trying everything. And so that's when we started diving into virtual events and trying webinars and trying all these ebook ads and funnels and all these different things. And so for us at the beginning, what we were testing out was webinar funnels. And so if you don't know what a webinar funnel is, or what a webinar is in general, it's just a 60 to 90 minute training where you come in, you teach for 60 to 90 minutes, and at the end, you present your service or your product. And so that's what we started doing. And so for us, we started there because it was easy. Almost anybody can get up and speak for 60 to 90 minutes. Whether you like speaking or not, you can do it. It just takes some practice. And so that's what we started out with. So long answer to your short question, it just varies. But for us, when we first started out, we fell in love with virtual webinars, where we just get people in a Zoom room, kind of like this, and we just talk about the benefits of our services, our products, and at the end make a pitch or an opportunity for people to work with us.
So 6 months of doing that, you're broke, right? It sounds like still. So was your wife, was she working? Was she helping you kind of pay the bills, or where was the money coming through?
Yeah, so I was working as a restaurant server part-time. So working about 20, 30 hours a week as a restaurant server, only making about $20,000-$25,000 a year. My wife was doing the same thing. And so she was not a restaurant server, but working part-time at a daycare. So she was, helping out there. And then on the weekends, we were working at our church. So, a little bit spread everywhere. And actually, this was my first jump into really, I would say, big entrepreneurship, because I felt like leading up to that in college, high school, whatever, I just dabbled a little bit in everything. But once I started learning real estate, that was the first time that I actually got into like big business, because like you're worth thousands of dollars, millions of dollars. And so and we started out in real estate. And this was part of the story I shared with you, I believe, in the past on our call. Started out in real estate at the same time. And I was so gung-ho. I was so excited. I was so pumped and amped for this new journey. And so pumped that I let my emotions trump the principles of business and real estate. And so I got in, was so excited, didn't listen to my mentor, everything he was saying. I was listening to part of the things. I was like, I'm going to go buy some assets. I'm going to go buy some land. And so I got in. Long story short, the first deal I ever done, I lost $20,000 on. Probably even a little bit more after interest. And so for me, that really broke me. And that put me in one of the lowest places I've ever been in my life, because you got to remember, you're on a high, right? You get out of college, you graduate, awesome, life's going good. You get married, life's going great. And then you jump into this new venture, and even at another high, oh, this is going to be awesome. I'm going to like make all this money in business and in real estate. And then you just go back $20,000 in credit card debt, because that's how I was funding this venture. And maybe even a little bit more. So that sunk me way down low. And that's when I took that lesson to heart, is don't let your emotions trump the principles, because principles stand the test of time. Principles are there for a reason, right? I mean, you would probably agree to that.
Yeah, no, for sure. So something to I throw out there, and I've thrown it out a bunch of times. One of the biggest flipping companies in San Diego makes more money off their classes than they do on their flips, right? So people listening, just be aware. I mean, it's there's a lot of Netflix shows, a lot of TV shows out there about flipping. Be aware out there. But anyways, so you're diving deeper. You're like, okay, I'm getting better at technology, putting events together. That's kind of be my secret sauce. If the progress is working out well there and you're getting more people to your events for the real estate, was there any plans of staying in that platform or what happened? What did that deviate to? Like, I'm gonna help other people build their own businesses.
Well, what happened is at the same time, so I was building my own real estate journey. And just so you guys know, real estate has been really lucrative for me since then.
Yeah.
That's part of my story as well. You know, we committed to the process, figured it out, and overcame that adversity. But, we were at the same time, I was building that business, losing a lot of money. But on the back end, we started getting really good at these events, right? Our first event, I'm going to be honest, it flops, which the first time you do anything is going to be, there's going to be trials, there's going to be setbacks. So the first time we tried it, it was horrible. But what we did is we found a coach, right? And so mentorship is one of the most important things to me. I always tell people, find somebody who's been where you want to go, latch onto them and follow them. So we found a mentor and a coach who said, hey, you're doing the right thing. You're in the right vehicle. You're just not driving in the right direction. And so he guided us on how to use virtual events a little better. And the next event, we made $30,000. The third event after that, we made like $100,000, right? And so we started impacting a lot of people and making a lot of income in the process. And so it was the light bulb moment in my head where I was like, wow, I could make in a week or in a day what I was making in a year. And so it doesn't matter if you're in the info product business, if you're a coach, like you can do this for whatever business you're in. If, like I mentioned the life insurance agent earlier, I have life insurance agents using webinars and using virtual events to scale their business. And what those sessions, what is it?
What were you selling in real estate? Were you selling basically to be an investor?
We were selling info products. We were selling courses and other things of that nature.
Oh, gotcha.
But it translates into other, and we've helped many other people in that offer services, software. We've helped tons of different avenues and niches. But so that was like the light bulb moment was like, wow, like not only am I seeing like I can make a lot of income in this business that we're working in, but like other people would, which I'm sure would love to have that. And so what happened was naturally because people started hearing, just our inner circle started hearing and seeing what was happening. I didn't mean to start an agency, but people started hiring me and I hired one or two assistants at the time, started hiring us out. And so from there, it was like the domino effect was just like people, hey, who ran your guys' event? That was awesome. Hey, Michael and his team did. And so it just kind of built and built organically. And so that's how we kind of solidified the agency model at this point. But that's one of my favorite lessons I give people is like, show up and add value to people and the results can be infinite, right? And that's what we did. We showed up, added value to my real estate mentor. And from there, the results just compounded. And as I was helping him win and helping him find and cultivate more value for his business, it just kind of kept rolling and rolling.
So, I mean, and then it goes back to like I think the first like comment I stated when we first got on here. I've had somewhere in that kind of ballpark of guests on this platform. Not you can't vet all of them, or things kind of weed through. And I've never really dived into it later on to see if those comments were correct about those individuals. But you know what? To 100 people that have a bad experience, one can have a horrible experience, and then things can change. Because you're helping people get a message out there, right? Similar, I guess, to this platform. I mean, how much vetting goes into it? Or is it, do you just make, okay, you know what? This is a quality person. I don't really care what they're selling. Is there anything in that degree? Or because you have a skill set, right? That you're right. Really good at basically getting the message out there.
No, that's a great question. I think this topic relates not just to me, but business owners across the whole world, right? So for me, I have to really look and say, what who do I want my brand attached to?
Yeah.
And unfortunately, in the past, my brand and my name has been attached to people that I'd found out later, right?
Yeah.
Weren't exactly who they said they were. Up to this point, we've been really good at vetting. So for us, we sit down and have preliminary calls. We sit down and get to know people and see their products, see their business model, see who they actually are. Do we jive well on the phone? And ultimately, I go with my gut, right? And so mm-hmm. right now in the internet age, you're living proof. You're telling me about this. Yeah. There's so many people out there making hate videos because somebody scammed XYZ person. And it's just like, you can never be safe enough. So for me, yes, tons of vetting goes into it. And then more than anything, just time, right? And so many people, they enter into partnerships or enter into agreements with people speedily because they think success loves speed, which yes, it does. But at the same time, success loves preparation, right? So you need to really take that into consideration. So yeah, definitely a lot of vetting that goes into it because my name, I like having my name.
So, I mean, I know you talked about the phone call, looking at the product, things like that. I mean, do you have a ballpark of time associated? Because, I mean, again, the vetting process, if you spend too much time on it, you're probably not putting enough products out there, right? Or if right. you have to leverage it for someone else to do the vetting. I mean, but do you have a ballpark of what that takes for you?
Yeah, I mean, for me, everybody's business is going to be a little bit different. But for me, you know, one of the big things we focus on is fulfillment, right? Can the client actually fulfill on the product or service they're trying to sell, right? That would be like, for example, you know, I'm hiring you. Yeah. And then we go sell a massive amount of products, a massive amount of services that is 10x the amount you've ever fulfilled on. Can they reasonably fulfill on that? And then what happens is if you sell something and you can't fulfill, what's that do to both of us? That's hurts your name, that hurts your reputation, that hurts my name, my reputation. So one of the biggest things is, are you who you actually say you are? Like, are you actually, you know, social media has a way of really tinting personalities and tinting people's views. But then at the same time, can you fulfill? And that's the big thing for us is there's a lot of people selling stuff that they can't fulfill on. I hate that because why would I want to sell something? Why would I want to be a part of something? That is only going to be a lie to people. And so that's the big thing for us is just fulfillment. And that could be, for example, I'll just get a concrete example out here. I'm not saying this has been done, but I'll just say this is an example. So let's, because I'm talking about life insurance agents a lot. Let's say you're a life insurance agent, you come on and you you get 100 new policies in 1 week or in a couple days. Like, can you actively sit down your team, fulfill those policies? Can you sit down, have the meetings, onboard them in a timely fashion? If you're like, hey, it's going to take me 3 months to onboard 100 people, like, not a good fit, right? That's not like, I'm not going to work with you. But if you say, yes, we have the systems, the operations to handle that influx, for us, that's a good sign because that means your organization is structured well.
You know what? You got everyone listening right there. That's how you turn a negative to a positive right there, Michael, right there. That's a skill set. If you can handle 100 clients, because that's what we do when you work with us. No, I like that. So walk us through, I mean, going through building this out, what has been that like hiccup? I know you talked about when you first got into real estate and you did your first land deal. Mind you, if anyone's looking to do land deals, I've had last episode of the episode before, I had a couple land coaches on there, Dan Hackbird and some other ones. I mean, I've never used them before, known the guys for a little bit of time, but go out there. But anyways, for yourself, Michael, building this out, what hiccups have you gone through when you're kind of thinking about, oh man, I should have done that better, or that was something that I really learned a big lesson from?
There's two specifically that really stick out in my mind. Number one was not realizing my value soon enough. Mm-hmm. See, so many people, you have a skill set, you have this knowledge, you know how to do something, but when you first start out, you undervalue yourself. And that's what happened to me greatly, right? And so because of that, I let people use, abuse me, and take advantage of me and my skill set. And so I would, if I could go back and tell Michael, who was 22, 23 at the time, would be like, hey, what you have is a gift that not many people have. And so the hiccup I had was, and I still struggle with this to this day. I'm still like, you know, at times I love working, I love building, as most entrepreneurs and business owners do. But you know, just valuing myself. And I think the biggest hiccup would just be the burnout that comes with that. And with people, you know, not when you charge very little for a product that's providing massive value for people, he will take advantage of that, and they will use that to their advantage. So that would be number one. Does that make sense? I just want to make sure that was clear.
Yeah. I mean, well, also too, I think if you charge too low, people don't want it. If you charge some, I mean, I had artists that I know, buddies, that they have to raise the price of their artwork just to actually get people to buy it sometimes too. So,
right. I
mean, yeah. Anyways. All right.
Well, for me, that was a big hurdle because it didn't allow us to scale, and like, it's a catch-22, right? To scale, you need to hire more employees, but to hire more employees, you got to charge more, and you got stuck in this cycle. And I think a lot of it came from the lack of self-confidence. And so for me, one of the biggest hurdles was just figuring out where I could get that self-confidence to charge more and to step into a better financial means. But then from there, what did I do?
Yeah, what did you do to gain the self-confidence?
You know, I would say this. It wasn't something that happened overnight. It was just constantly getting wins for our clients. It was constantly showing up and speaking to, our partners that we work with, and them saying, wow, you changed my life. And so finally it was like, over time, I was like, you know what, after enough of the taking advantage of, enough of, the low pay, enough of all these things combined together, it was like, you know what, I am worth it. So maybe one day it was a realization. I don't know. But it was just the fact that, one, all of this kind of combined together, but number two, I finally realized through some coaching and through some mentorship that when you charge more, people are going to value it more, kind of what you were saying with the art, right? And a lot of times premium will pull a whole different new sort of clientele. And so for us, it was just the decision to, after getting some coaching, to charge a little bit more, to which ultimately will bring more self-confidence over time. So I don't have a magic answer to that. It was just a culmination of a few things.
Well, no, I think, and I could be wrong. You correct me if I'm wrong. It sounds like your coach. I mean, because usually, at least from my experience, people usually make change when they either get kicked in the balls or someone else pulls them aside and actually changes the way they look at things, right? So it sounds like you were more of the second, where your coach was like, hey, you've done this win. You need to charge more, right?
Yeah, exactly. And so, yeah. And when he was sitting down, that was one of them, is saying, yeah, you just helped make somebody $500,000, but you're getting paid pennies. Like, what's up with that? Like, there's a value gap there. So yeah, definitely having that coach to help you realize. But I'll say this. I drew a blank, man. I was going to say something else, but anyways, I think you're talking about hurdles and stuff. The other hurdle was, just thinking I could do everything myself, man. And when you get good at something and you're used to doing something a certain way, and that's my personality, I'll just pick up something and be like, okay, I can do it faster than everybody else. I can do it better than everybody else, even though that may not be true. Thinking I can grow alone and with a small team was not smart. And that held me back a lot and hurt me a lot of ways, because as you grow a business, and as you know this, and most of the listeners may or may not know this, but as you grow a business, you have to delegate to elevate. You have to delegate. And so for me, that was the biggest hurdle that I faced early on, was trying to do everything myself.
It sounds like it's really good, and I'm assuming it's out there, but if not, if you rate a delegate to elevate, is that something you've used, or is it a common thing?
That's, I've never heard of it. I've kind of always just used it.
Oh, so no, I like it. No, that's a great one. People listening right there, that's a thing, little that you could tell yourself, especially if you're afraid to hire on, because that's a tough one. When you start delegating basically some of your duties, you're like, I can do this better than anyone else. And yeah.
And I mean, the best way to do this, I think the reason why most business owners, most people are afraid to delegate anything is because they're afraid. There's a lack of certainty. We'll just say it that way. There's a lack of certainty. So for me, what I had to do to create that certainty was map out every single thing I was doing in my business. It doesn't matter if it was even the smallest minute thing. Map out everything, because if you have an SOP, a standard operating procedure, or a roadmap on how something's supposed to get done, and the way you've been doing it, because most of the tasks you're doing are super repetitive anyways, right? And that was it for me. So once I laid that out, that gave me the certainty. That gave me the confidence to be able to hand it off to somebody else, train somebody else. And so it took me a while to realize that. But after meeting again with a few people in the industry that I work with, a few partners, a few of my clients even telling me, which isn't when you know what's bad, is when your clients are telling you, Michael, you're doing too much. And so I had a few of them approach me that are working and said, hey, we love your effort. We love your energy that you're putting into our business and the growth of these events. But you got to do something, man, because we're seeing from the outside looking in that you're going to burn out. And so that was kind of a realization. It's not a coach telling you, but your clients telling you that you need to do something. And so ultimately, you want to make your clients happy, right? And you want to work with them long term. So I think that was them saying, Michael, we want to work with you long term, and we don't see this lasting long term if you're doing it all by yourself.
Because you've talked about a couple of times, you had a real estate coach, you had your coach in business, it sounds like. Did you have a coach help you with the hiring process too?
No, actually I didn't. So just after some clients and some people pointed out, you know, that I was doing too much, you know, obviously mainly our clients and then me realizing as well, like as my time, you know, working 60, 70, 80 hours a week, it was just one of those things where I stepped in and said, okay, how do I do this? And watching YouTube videos and hearing what other people and evaluating what other people are doing in their business. And I'm going to be honest, I feel like most of us, we don't take enough time to evaluate what's working for other people. And that's like the cheat code. If you can step in and you can just sit down for 30 minutes, an hour, and you go check out somebody's business, you go check out their website, their marketing, like you can get so many gems. And that's what I did. I said, okay, other people in their agencies, what are they doing? So I'd go on their agency websites, and you know, they always have, not all agencies, but a lot of agencies, they'll have about our team. And so I would go through and read, okay, what does their team structure look like? And I would go through all those things and just piece things together. There was hiccups along the way there as well, but it was me just sitting down and doing some self-research. Okay, how do I need to build this machine?
If we were talking in 5 years from now, where do you see, I mean, especially as more things are going online, where do you see your business expanding to, growing to be? I mean, do you have a vision?
Yeah, man. Right now, I'd say for our business, I would love to, within 5 years, have an operator that just runs my whole business, kind of like a CEO, COO. We don't have that right now. You know, I'm kind of steering the ship. We have an amazing team. But I, you know, definitely have more of an executive staff that can lead the ship while I just, you know, focus on other passion projects like speaking, like we're doing now, and things of that nature. But definitely doing virtual events, definitely doing marketing. But I would say even more delegation in the future, 5 years from now, so that I can focus on what I really love to do.
Gotcha. Do you foresee? Well, before we get to this question, thank you, Michael, for being here today. If people are listening, they want to get more information about you and your business, what's the best way? And I know you have some links in the show notes, but I always ask.
Yeah, I mean, I'm very relational. Hit me up on Instagram at official Michael Tucker. Official Michael Tucker. Just hit me up there. Shoot me a message. Let me know you came from the Road to Growth. We'd love to chat with you. Or if you want to sit down, you're like, hey, I love virtual events. I have nothing to sell you. By the way, I'm not going to sell you a course or anything, but you can go to thefunnelpros.com. And we can have a 15-minute convo. If I'm like, hey, this, I'll sit down and tell you, hey, this is how virtual events could work for you. If I'm like, hey, I think, you know, we could work together. Awesome. We'll talk about it. But more than anything, it's a virtual coffee. We just sit down and chat it up. And again, you can go to official Michael Tucker on Instagram or the Funnel Pros. Check us out there. And we'd love to chat with you.
Awesome. All right. Last question. Where do you see virtual events going with, I mean, I don't even know. I mean, I'm guessing with, AI and other technologies that are going to expand. I mean, is it going to be more so people actually doing the pre-tape stuff, or is it going to be just having your avatar teaching the class? I mean, where do you see virtual events going?
Yeah, man. Great question. For me, I see that virtual events, it's only going to get more crowded, right? Obviously, more people are going to start using them. Ultimately, since COVID, you know, the spike has been crazy. But those who actually know how to craft value in their events are going to be the ones that stand out. And we're already seeing that right now. People will sign up for these events. They don't stay because it's all fluff. People are talking about themselves too much. But if you can step in and craft a presentation in an event that isn't just an event, but it's a transformational experience, and you can actually step in and provide value, legit value. The word value, I hate it nowadays because it gets thrown around and give value. But like, if you actually sit down and provide content that can change people's lives, you're going to stand out above the rest. So whenever it comes to AI, I'm not too sure if people will have AI avatars in themselves teaching. Maybe so. I mean, we already at this point to where people are running evergreen. When I say evergreen, meaning replays of trainings and running ads to them. That's, they're performing amazingly well. I think AI will just be an enhancement on how we market the webinars. I don't ever think there's going to be, as of right now and this moment in time, I don't think AI avatars or anything like that are ever going to be a fix for those who are looking to replace themselves. I think we're on the way there, maybe in the next 4 or 5 years. But I think right now people can tell AI generated trainings and recordings and stuff, and it just comes off ingenuine to me. I'm not saying that's always the way, but so I think if you're here worried about AI, I definitely think you can use it to your advantage at this point leading up to the event, but it's going to be your time to shine when that camera comes on, when that screen opens, and you know, you actually have to run the event. So that's my thoughts though.
No, it makes sense. Yeah. I mean, I think it's engaging, giving value. And I mean, it's a saying, it's a thought that I've always had. Well, not always had. It's taken me a while to figure it out, but everyone has some level of value if you're willing to listen and they're willing to actually talk about that actual truthfully value that they have. Thank you guys for being here. Please subscribe, please share, go in the show notes, go find Michael. I mean, virtual events. I mean, I was talking to someone yesterday, COVID happened 4 years ago when it seems like this virtual event boom kind of happened where Zoom stock jumped up to the roof.
Right.
but there, even though everyone's talking about, we're going back to the office, I think like 2 years ago, 3 years ago, it seems like that hybrid model is still there, and virtual events are a thing of the now and thing of the future. So please go in the show notes, go find Michael, and please subscribe to the podcast. Bye, everyone.
Thank you for listening to The Road to Growth, Success of an Entrepreneur. Please like, subscribe, and stay connected. Visit www.theenriquezgroup.com.
Yeah, I created a website.
Hope to see you again next week. The Enriquez Group, signing off.